I do love my church family. I think it's amazing grace that has us sitting in here today.
Man.
Just think about God's grace. You sitting in this church house today, right now.
Amen.
You could be dead in hell, burned up somewhere. I mean, the gutters. I mean, you could be anywhere besides right here today. And God said, nope, we're going to send him in the church house today. I mean, what grace is that? I mean, just amazing. I told Pastor the other day, I still get excited. Get excited over the things of God. Get excited for what he's done in my life, what he's doing in my family's life, and what he's doing for me and my wife. Is it easy? No. I'm broke up. I got broke neck, broke back. I mean, I'm hurting constantly all the time and everything else. But you know what? The Lord, Pastor, pointed this out to me. The Lord's going to make me content in that stage. Why? Maybe he's got to keep me broken to keep this relationship up. I told Amy the other day, if that's what it takes, then I'm going to do it. I'm just going to bear it. I'm just going to do it. That's what I want. I mean, my heart, I'm not here for no other reason except I want to serve the Lord, man. I mean, that's my heart. That's my intent. That's my life. Why would I want to go anywhere else? I've already been to the world. I've already out there and experienced all that garbage that never did me any good. This is where I want to be. I want to be close to God. Somebody could help me do something, get me somewhere, move somewhere in my life, help my family. I mean, these are the things that I want. This is where I want to be. I'm just thankful to be here today. And I put a little something down. You might have heard some of these, but I'm going to say it because this is how I feel. I stand before you as an imperfect person, saved by a perfect God. A condemned man saved to be a Christian. A convict turned to a convert. From a sinner to a saint. From a saved old man to a new creature. Huh? Yeah, that's what I have. That's what I have standing for you today. I mean, I've been in the gutters. I've been in jailhouses and prisons and rehabs and all that stuff. But here, I'm going to say all that to get to this. There's something missing in churches and families. And the Lord put on my heart this week. My heart was broke over situations that's been happening to some family members. And then I just started thinking about family and church and everything else and just said, there's something missing today. There's something missing these days. It's called forgiveness. Forgiveness. Nobody has forgiveness. They can't forgive anybody for anything. They hold on to every single thing. When you have family members that will fight each other and hold on to it and blame each other and won't forgive.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a few weeks here. I'm going to go over some words here. I'm going to just name the words forgive, forgiveness, forgave, forgiven, and forgiving. That's what I'm going to preach on for the next few weeks. I won't get through them all today. That's all right. I'm just telling you now, when I got into this, the Lord showed me some things and just lit me up. Because we are missing a lot. So anyway, I want to just read what I wrote down. The word forgive is in the Bible 48 times. The word forgiveness is in the Bible 7 times. The word forgave is in the Bible 7 times. The word forgiven 38 times. And the word forgiving is in the Bible 4 times. All are very important to God and have the same meaning behind them. The meanings behind them are to excuse or for a fault or offense, to pardon. To stop feeling anger or resentment against. To absolve from a payment of. Add these up and the total number is, and I made a mistake when I told you, I went back and corrected it. But the total number is 104 times. Which is even better. And I'm going to show you what 104 stands for in the Bible. That's why I like getting this stuff, because it just keeps going. The knowledge, I mean, just the stuff that's in the Bible, man, just keeps going and going and going. And you start getting into it, you're just like, wow! Wow, why would you ever not want to see? But I'm going to go this. Add these up and you have a total use times 104 times. That brings us to the 104th Psalm, which has been known as the creation psalm. And I'm going to show you why. Let me just get into this a little bit. God's majesty in the heavens for the creation of the sea and the dry land, verses 1 through 9. His provision for all creatures, 10 through 18. The regular course of day and night and God's sovereign power over all creatures, 19 through 30. And a resolution to continue praising God, 31 through 35. That's just a quick breakdown of what the verses are for. And Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Forgive, forgiveness, forgave, forgiven, and forgiving are all part of God's creation. Do you understand that God is the one that came up with forgiveness?
Amen.
Humans did not.
Amen.
Proof is in the pudding. How many of us are sitting right here, right now, in these pews, and don't have forgiveness for somebody? Don't lie.
Oh.
I just went through it myself. Just went through it myself. So it had to take somebody greater than ourselves to come up with this.
Right.
I'm just telling you, this is off of just starting one word.
Amen.
What? I mean, what is in the Bible? Get in there and find out. That's how I find out. Nobody hands me this stuff. I get in and I work at it. And I pay a price to work at it. I pay a price when God gives me something, I pay for it. But I'm, you know what? I'm in headlong. I'm in it. I'm in it to win it. You know why? Because my prize is not here on earth. My prize is in heaven. That's where I'm going. And for all you guys that are saved sitting here tonight, I'll see you when we get there. Because I'm going there. I'm not being left behind.
Amen.
That's where my new home is. But God, you know, expects us to live a way of righteousness here on earth. He expects us to be separate from the people. He wants us to live a life that shows people that we're different, that something happened. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This lady, she wrote me on Facebook the other day. She was all confused about this. One preacher's telling me this and one preacher's telling me this. And I said, I'll just tell you this. If a person's saved and they mess up, two things are going to happen. Number one, God's going to show them what they're doing. They're going to repent and get right. Number two, if they're saved and they're still messing up and God shows them that, they don't do nothing. They're going to die in their flesh. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Number three, when people go around and say they've been living 10, 20, 30 years, saved person, they go out there living for hell, you missed it. You were never saved. Right. I'm sorry. Right. Why? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things have become new. I'm just here to witness to you today that my mother is sitting here somewhere. She can attest, yeah, maybe she went home, but maybe she can attest to the type of person that I was.
Amen.
And that I could never change myself ever. And still today I could never change myself. But I got salvation, you see, so change comes.
Amen.
I got Jesus Christ living inside me. Something different has to happen. I'm not going to stay the same old person when I got Jesus in me.
Amen.
All he did on that cross would have been in vain then.
Yeah.
These people saying that kind of stuff, it scares me. I start praying for them for their salvation immediately. Forgiveness. The Creator has made a way for the creation to be right with Him again. Amen. Through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. We're going to start out in Colossians 1, 13. Colossians 1, 13. Wow, I turned right today. That's something. That's good. I do have the verses written down here because they're bigger than my Bible. I just can't get used to reading with my glasses, so I just got them printed real big on paper, but it is here. Colossians 1:13. I'm just going to say, the Creator has made a way for the creation to be right with Him again through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Now I want to show you that. We're going to start in Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 15. Who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. 16. For by Him were all things created. That includes forgiveness.
Amen.
That includes the way that we are forgiven. It was
Amen.
Done by Him.
Amen.
Done by Him. It was not done by a human being. If that's the case, we'd all be still going to hell today. Could you imagine if a human being was left up to a human being for salvation? Human beings are, and I'm including myself in this, please don't get me wrong. I'm not up here some perfect person. I'm just telling you now, we can't forgive each other now. How would we ever forgive somebody's sins?
Yeah.
If that was the case, I'm just going to tell you now, I want you guys to walk up to Charles Manson, forgive him. Every child molester that ever walked the face of this earth, will have to forgive them, somebody who may have killed your family member or whatever else, or the drug dealer who's got your kids hooked on drugs, and go forgive them then. You can't do it. You know it. That's why Jesus had to do it. That's why He's the Creator. He made a way for us to do it. He's the one who showed it. He's the one who came up with it. We as humans are stuck. We cannot do that. We can't forgive. Sometimes, maybe you can attest to this, sometimes we have a hard time forgiving each other when we're married. I'm just saying. 1:7. Colossians 1:7. He is before all things and by all things consist. But I'm not preaching on 104. I just want to share some good stuff with you about that Psalm 104 and how the numbers line up by, because He's the Creator. He's the one who started it. He's the one who got it. He's the one who got the ball rolling for us. Now, Pastor preached a message, man. I've been praying, Lord. I love Jesus. I love what He's done. Sometimes I just need a refreshing. And I prayed for the last couple of days. I said, Lord, just show me. I just need to see your love real quick, Lord. Just give me a little glimpse of it again. And he got up here and preached out and said, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Woo! Boy, I tell you what. That gets me going. I almost jumped up out of my seat if my back wasn't hurt so bad. I probably would have rolled in the aisles and everything else. But I'm just saying, man. I never had love like that. I'm just glad Jesus could show me some love like that. I mean, a person like me, and I still mess up. That's something. I still have bad days. I still cry with pain. I still mess up with my family. I was just telling them the other day, me and Luke were out doing something. And I think I apologized to him 3 or 4 times. He goes, Dad, you're not hurt my feelings. I said, well, just in case, I want to make sure we're all right.
Amen.
Just in case. It made me feel not right. So I'm going to make sure, if I don't feel right about it, then I want to make sure you feel okay. I would have never done that in the past, you understand? It wouldn't have bothered me about his feelings. His feelings meant nothing to me. But I got forgiven.
Amen.
He's got a new daddy. He's got a new daddy now, right, buddy? That's his favorite song. No longer have to hide behind the door. Don't worry. You got a new daddy now. He sings that a lot. He's got a new dad. Today I want to preach to you on forgiven, and forgiving. Which is something that has been lost, even among the Christians, brothers and sisters, and among family and friends. A lot of where the churches are and the homes in this world condition is because people have forgotten how to do such things. People have forgotten how to forgive anymore. People who have forgotten how to say, you know what, brother, or you know what, sister, I understand you made the mistake, but you know what, it's all good, man. Me and you are fine. My kids do wrong to me, and your parents can understand your kids doing wrong to you. But after I'm done correcting my kids, I always go and restore the relationship to our kids. Do I not? Always restore the relationship. Why? Because I want them to know they're forgiven.
Amen.
Me and you took care of business. You paid the price that you had to pay. Now you're forgiven. It's over with. Then we have nothing no more.
Amen.
I do the same with my wife. We're okay? We're okay. Good. Now, I just want you to know, I'll come out and tell them. I just want them to see that Daddy has forgiven them. No longer do I hold what they did against them. No longer do I hold that against them anymore. They paid their price. It's over with. You're forgiven. You're free. Well, our relationship has been restored. If we could see a little bit more of that in our churches, a little bit more of that in this world, a little bit more of that in the family members. They say blood is thicker than water. I can't tell these days. Where? Very few families where I'm seeing anything like that. I mean, it just shocks me. Blows my... Even as a criminal, even as the person that I was, I always sucked for my family. Always. No matter what. I never even robbed for my mother. That's saying a lot, because I rob everybody and everything, every time. But I've never stole from my mother. Why? Because family is always like that. Just something I just learned out there on the streets, man. I didn't mess with my family like that. Let's look at some verses for each of these words. I want to get into each of these words, and I just want to show you what... Now, listen, the Bible's going to give you the definition, not a dictionary. I'm going to let the Bible tell you the definition. I think it's more powerful that way. I did look some of them up in the dictionaries, and it just didn't make sense. It didn't work right. But you know what? The Lord already put definitions in here. So you'll understand by me reading these verses what the Lord is saying about each word. And the first one we're going to do is the word forgive. It's 48 times in the Bible, and we're going to start in Genesis 50. Yep, it even goes back that far. Can you believe it? Forgive. People can just go back, you know, a couple of years and forgive something somebody might have done wrong to you. Just telling you. I know after I got saved, that's one thing that happened. I was able to forgive. That's something. When I got saved, I got a new heart. I was able to forgive people. Wasn't always easy, and I wasn't. But you know what? It just taught me character. It taught me how to rule my life a little better. It taught me how to look out for things, not set myself up in certain circumstances and that. But you know, I still get hurt. I still have people put me down and everything. But the Lord gave me a new heart. I can forgive people. Now, I thank God for that. I don't have to hit people and beat them up and all that stuff. I mean, that's the kind of crazy. I didn't forgive. Yeah, I forgive you when you're picking your teeth up off the ground and they're whisking you away in the ambulance. There's your forgiveness. It's the type of person I was. I don't get into that anymore. I can forgive. You want to do me some wrong, then do me some wrong. You know what? Just studying David, brother. I'm just telling you, man, the life of David, that's something to study. You want to know somebody who forgave people? a man after God's own heart. I'm not going to get into that. But that man forgave. He forgave him so much. I'm just going to tell you that he forgave him so much that his family and friends thought he loved his enemies more than he loved his family and friends.
That's right.
I'll show you that in the Bible. How's that? Just crazy stuff, man. That's right, because he had a heart after God. That's why God calls him a man after his own heart. Why? Because he had that heart. I'm gonna preach that one day. I'm just telling you. Verse 17. Genesis 50, verse 17. So shall you say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive thee the trespass of thy servants of the God of the God of the Father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. That's forgiveness of your family for them doing wrong to you. I had a family that I had to forgive for doing wrong to me. And always doing wrong to me. I wasn't raised in a family that we treated each other nicely and we did things to make each other happy. And that's not how my family was raised. I had to forgive my father for all the stuff that he ever did to my mom and me and my brother. The word, let me see what I wrote here. Forgive the trespass of the servants of the God thy Father. And Joseph wept, and they spake unto him. The word tells us here that even family has done us wrong. We should forgive them. God does not put stipulations on forgiveness. You show me somewhere in the Bible where I can get the New Testament, Old Testament, wherever you want to go with this word. And I'm just going to tell you now. Jesus didn't say, the Bible didn't say, God didn't say, I need you to forgive somebody if. No. He says, you just forgive them. Done. No stipulations on that whatsoever. He didn't say, well, forgive them if. Or forgive me if they do this. Or forgive me if they don't. He didn't say that anywhere. You show me one time in the Bible, I'll correct. I'm just telling you, man. I just did a study on this. It doesn't say anywhere that you just should forgive them because that's what God commands you to do. Be done with it. Especially when it comes to family. People cannot forgive their own family these days. Sometimes I see people walk around, it's easier for them to forgive a stranger than it is their own loved ones.
Come on.
I mean, it's just, David almost got caught up in that. He really did. His family and friends really thought he loved his enemies more than them. That's what he thought. That's what they thought. We can get ourselves caught up in that. But I'm just telling you, these pews here, and I speak for myself, but these pews should have more family members, our family members sitting in them than they do.
Right.
But just think about how much unforgiveness we have in our hearts. Now we live as Christians and, you know, we're doing this right and doing that right. Then just imagine those who are out there who won't forgive somebody who are not saved. They got all that bitterness bound up in them too. They're not going to come in here. They don't want nothing to do with what we have. They know. They know us. God does not put stipulations on forgiving. For some that seems almost impossible. And you're right. It is humanly speaking. But the Bible says in Matthew 19:26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men it is impossible, with God all things are possible. So how do we forgive people? With God. It's impossible to me as a human to go out there and really have a heart to forgive somebody because I like to hold on to little things. Go see, I got a new heart. And God gives me, he gives me, you know why? Because I got to come to him with a willingness. That's how I got to come to him. Pastor, he knows it's hard for me. That's why it's impossible, it says, for us to be able to do that. But with God, all things are possible. What does he expect us to do? Have a willingness to do it.
Amen.
Be willing to do it. How many of you, I'm going to say it again. I'm not showing your hands because I know there'll be hands up. But how many of you are sitting in this room right now don't even have a willingness to forgive?
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
We're not even willing to forgive anybody. So therefore, you're not going to be able to do it. Go ahead. I'm just telling you, man. You want to be able to forgive people? Then be willing to do it. Be willing to put yourself out there. I'm not going to jump ahead of myself. So how do we do it? Have our heart right with God and have a willingness to forgive. Whether or not the other person does or not. God said he wants us to come to him with a willing heart and say, Lord, I want to forgive them whether they forgive me or not. He's not asking you for your stipulation. Well, I'll forgive him if they forgive me. No, that's not what he wants to hear. He will reject that every single time. You're going to come to God and say, Lord, regardless of what they say or do, I'm willing to forgive them. And he'll say, boom, let's do it then. He'll give you that. I promise you he'll give you that. How do you think I forgive people? On my own? No, I do not. I'm too weak to do that. But I have a God who says, Dale, you come to me with a willing heart. I'll help you to forgive. And he does. Help me to forgive. Right. You want to forgive? Come God willing. He knows. Listen to me. My wife quotes this a lot. She says, you know, I'll hear her say something. She goes, there ain't no sense of hiding it from God. He already knows it. So don't try to go to God with an unwilling heart. He already knows it. Go there with a willing heart. You know why a lot of people can't get saved? Because they really don't want to get saved.
That's right.
They say they want to get saved. And you know what? If God knew your heart and you really wanted to get saved, bam, you would be.
That's right.
I'm just telling you how salvation works. And I struggled with that for how long?
Long time.
That's right. But I know now. I'm just telling you, man. You want to be able to forgive people, you got to go to God with a willing heart. And not with any stipulations attached to it. He doesn't fall for your stipulations. The Bible says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Once you have gotten it right with God and the other person, if you tried to, then just go and live in peace with them no matter what they do. If you have truly forgiven them, it won't matter what they do. You'll still have peace with God. The peace of God will trump that. If you come out and say, hey man, I messed up, please forgive me. They go, no, I want nothing to do with you. You'll still have the peace of God if you walk away and you did it right.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about what they do because you'll have the peace of God. The peace of God will trump that any day. I'll show you. If they don't accept it, here's what the Bible says, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. He's going to keep you, man. You ain't going to worry about keeping yourself. He's got you. You just do and be willing what he wants you to do. He'll take care of the rest. He'll give you the peace. They say, oh, I'm not accepting nothing. Your apologies. You mess up. And let them just do whatever they have to say. Just keep your mouth shut. That's a hard thing to do. I know I had to learn how to do it. I had to learn how to keep my mouth wide. The Bible says even a fool is accounted wise when they keep their mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Why would the Bible say that then? Because it's at times like these that you need to keep your mouth closed, let them rail on you and do whatever else they're going to do, let the peace of God come into your heart. He's going to be happy you did that.
Yeah.
He'll take care of them. And if not, then you deserved it. Pastor, I learned that. Finally, can you believe I learned that? If God doesn't stick up for me, then I don't need to. And do I live my life that way, Amy? Yes, I do live my life that way. If it ain't worth God sticking, it ain't worth me sticking my nose into it then. Done with it. Why? Because I can float around with the peace of God. I can have him and just have a life filled with him and him, what he wants to do. I always feel so much better when I get through that. That's a hard thing as a human being to have to go through. Let them say whatever they're going to say. Close your mouth. Let God just take care of it. Let him handle it. And just walk around and go, man, they're the ones all upset, bitter, angry, can't sleep at night, wanting to punch your face off and everything else. You're sleeping like a baby. You got no worries in the world whatsoever. You're all good. Why? That's the peace of God. He's lifted it from you. That burden's gone. What a lovely thing. Now to the Christian brothers and sisters. That was family. God wants you to forgive family. That was the story about Joseph who had to forgive his family. What'd they do to him? Threw him in the pit, got sold into slavery and all that. God knew that needed to happen, Joseph, death. You see, God knew that by him allowing that his brothers would be saved through that. His brothers didn't understand that. But you know, they wanted to kill him and everything else, but he forgave him. It's over with. He hugged his brothers and everything else. I mean, everything was good. That relationship was restored. Forgave. We're still on the word forgave. Now to the Christian brothers and sisters, Matthew 18:21 says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 70 times 7, or unless they come to you first and do this and say that. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that anywhere. How many times have I? In a day. In a day. What's it say? Let me read that one more time. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 70 times. Jesus saith unto him, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 70 times 7, but until 70 times 7. Jesus didn't say forgive our brother or sister only if they forgive you first, or if they make it right with you, or if they do or do not anything. He says to forgive them as many times as they mess up. Show me where there's a stipulation on that. That's Jesus talking. He's God. He's the one telling us to do this. Tell me, where's our stipulation? Where is he telling me to forgive you for doing me wrong only if you do this, or only if you say? He's not saying that. He says you need to forgive them as many times as they mess up. I mean, if Christians could get a hold of forgiveness, listen, you know how I know you can't forgive your own family, your blood family, because you can't forgive anybody in church. We're washed in the blood. We are brothers and sisters, regardless if you like it or not. These people are going to be in heaven with us forever. You know what? They're our family. Whether you like them or not, they are our family. And you know what? We're going to do each other wrong. We are just going to do it. We're flesh, man. We stink. I mean, we're disgusting. We do things wrong to each other. But we need to have a forgiving heart. Because now you're treading on dangerous ground. Now it's not going to be where, you know what, I'm mad at Jim. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. And I'm talking about your family now. And you just walk away for the rest of your life and never talk to each other. But now you're talking about two Christians who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ that is dipped in any kind of blood that's on this earth. And you're going to tell me you're going to ignore your brother? Oh, I'm going to show you some things. You ain't going to know your brother. You are not going to get away with not forgiving them. Go ahead. If a brother or sister does something wrong to you, go ahead and pray. Get it right with them. I'm just telling you now, man, it's a dangerous ground you're walking on, not forgiving your brother or your sister. And that's hard stuff. I'm not saying you do something wrong and then right then and there you have to forgive each other. I'm just telling you now, go home and pray. I don't care if it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks or whatever, but I'm just telling you now, you better step up to the plate and get it right and forgive your brother or sister. You know why? They belong to Jesus. They are not your people. They are his people. And he's not going to put up with you fighting like that. Let me go on. I'm just going to show you some stuff. He says to forgive them as many times as they mess up. And that's what we want. Someone to forgive us right away for our mistakes. So why not them? You know when you mess up, you want somebody immediately to forgive you. But you can't turn around and do it to them. That's a hypocrite. You're being an absolute hypocrite. Oh, love one another. Listen, if you cannot forgive and love one of your own brothers and sisters that are sitting in a church pew, don't tell me you'll do that to a stranger. You're a liar. You're a liar. You can't even love your own family that's sitting in the church pew. You're going to go out there and try to love a stranger? Go ahead and walk up to a drug addict or alcoholic or somebody just out of prison and tell them how much you love them. They look right through you and say you're a liar.
Right.
They know what's going on in these church houses. They can't even forgive each other. Who wants that? We put up us drug addicts, alcoholics, and convicts put up with that outside of church. Why do we want that here?
That's right.
I'm just telling you, man. Don't, remember, I always say, you got a target in your back. People are watching. They're watching the house of God. They're watching what we're doing here. And then you want to try to carry it outside and say, yeah, I'm holier than thou, and I'm walking on water. They're just laughing at you. Because they know what you're really about. You can't even forgive your own brothers and sisters. You can't even forgive your own family. You're going to go out there and try to tell a stranger, come in, we'll love you, we'll do everything for you until you do something wrong that I won't forgive you. They know that. They look right through that stuff. They see it. It's very important that we start learning how to forgive our brothers and sisters. It's not all easy. I'm preaching this to you because this is what I'm learning right now. I don't have it down. I'm not perfect at it. I go through this all the time. I'm learning how to deal with it. I don't have this down pat. This is not something I'm preaching to you because I have it down pat. This will probably go on the rest of my life, this battle. But I'm just going to share a little something with you. Maybe I can help somebody out in here. I'm going to go through it right with you. I don't have this down. I just don't. I try, though. I want to, though. That's my heart's desire. That's my heart's desire. My heart's desire is not to hold on to anger and bitterness and all this stuff that you can have towards people. And as a preacher, not a pastor or a bishop or a deacon, I'm a preacher. And as somebody that has that, that stuff, like Pastor pointed out to me, that stuff can build up in your heart quick. You never even realize it. That's why the Lord sat me down the other day and started giving me this stuff because I was holding things against people that I should have forgave. It's just small things, but it was enough for the Lord to get angry with me. Enough for him to have to deal with me. Enough where he said, Dale, it's enough now. We got to get this stuff right. Say, all right, Lord, let's go study that. Show me what your word says about this stuff. You want to learn how to live your life? Bink, go in the Bible.
Yeah.
How hard is it? They want to go to, I'm just going to say, they want to go to psychiatrists and everything else. Man, you can learn how to do it right here in the word.
Yes.
Save yourself some money and heartache. was on 19 pills a day before I got saved. 19. Please don't get off your medicine. I'm just saying what God did to me. And I wasted, I don't know how much money we paid to get those pills every month. I took 19 pills a day for every kind of thing I could ever be diagnosed with. And here's the whole thing. I was lost and just needed to feel some of my pain. That was the thing. I'm off them now. I'm free. I haven't taken them. I'm not putting anybody down who's ever on them. I'm not telling anybody to get off of them. But I'm just telling you, I just needed to feel a little bit of that pain of what I was and who I was and why Jesus had to die for me. And I thank God that I felt that pain.
Amen.
Most people today, they run from it.
Yeah.
It could save your life, man. It could save you from hell. Face that pain. Face it. Here's how ugly it is. Don't hold on to it. Hell's uglier.
Yeah.
Face it. Don't run from it. Just head on. Go with it. Go and just go. I mean, I remember the times the Lord would just show me things about myself. Oh, my gosh. Oh, disgusting. But you know, I needed that. I needed to see that.
Amen.
Yeah. There's a song out there I love. I said, you know, I don't know it by heart. Hannah and her mom probably know it better than anybody. It says, I had to get lost before I could be found.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
You know what it took me to get lost? To see what I really was. You know how I was able to see what I really was? When God started showing me who I was.
Yeah.
Do you think that was pretty? I still, listen, when I look in the mirror today, I still want to run. That's how ugly I am. And my insides were 1,000 times worse than my outside appearance could have ever been. 1,000,000,000 times. I just cannot believe what was in my heart, the filth and the disgusting things. The thoughts and the desires and, I mean, just bad, bad stuff. Thank God I got it. You know what? I got forgiven.
Yeah.
Wait till I start teaching you about the word forgiven. I'm not going to blow. I started telling Pastor some of it. But I'm just telling you, man, I got forgiven. It's gone. It's over. And I thank God for it. So you know what? Let's learn how to do this together. Let's learn how to forgive together. Let's learn how to love each other like brothers and sisters should love each other and pray for each other. I mean, my wife knows, and I'm not bragging. Lord knows I'm not bragging. But I got prayer lists that goes across my dresser and people I pray for every day. Just because I don't want to forget them. I don't have a good memory. So I write them down and I pray for them people every single day.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I can put check marks off where God answers prayer. Sometimes I have to add people or, you know, something like that. But that's there for me and God, so He knows that I'm being serious about these people that I want to pray for. I don't want to forget their needs.
Good.
That's what it's there for. It's not there for you, is it? Hey. She told me the other day, honey, I'm glad you put that out because it reminded me to pray for somebody. That's what it's for.
Amen.
That's right. I mean, I love it. Why? Because I hold things against people? No. But I love them. I forgive them. I want to have a relationship. There's nothing else. I don't know how many times I can stress this and to get people to understand. I want to have that closeness to Jesus, man. I want to have that relationship with Him. That's who I want to draw close to. I don't do any of this to impress you guys or to make you happy or, you know, for this or that. I do this because I want Jesus to bless me. I want His love to come in my heart. I want Him to teach me and show me things. That's what I want. That's my heart's desire, is to serve the Lord. I just want to give you a little tidbit. I do bring this stuff home with me. It doesn't just stay in church.
Amen.
My Bible, my Christian life all goes home with me. I live just as well as a Christian at home as I do here.
Amen.
Ask my kids and my wife. They're sitting there. My mom will tell you. I'm just telling you, man. I'm serious about this thing. This thing is serious. When it got a hold of my heart, it changed my life. You understand? See that? When it got a hold of my heart, it changed my life. I'm not the same old person I used to be. I can be. But I have a new desire. Why? Because all things have become new. So is the Bible true or is it not? If you're saying, well, all things aren't changing right away, they will. Why? Because the Bible says so. If the Bible's the truth, every man's a liar. Every man's a liar. The Bible's the truth. If you don't believe it, you're proving the Bible right. The Bible says you'll be that way about the Word. You'll be that way about Jesus Christ. So all you're doing is proving the Bible right more and more by being that way. Okay, I'm talking about forgiveness of brothers and sisters. I said, usually when you're the one who steps up and drops. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'm glad to. I'm talking about forgiveness of brothers and sisters. And he says forgive them as many times as they mess up or whatever. And then he says this. He puts no stipulations on there. But here's one of the keys to this victory that I've learned. Is that when I go ahead and drop my big old fat head puffy pride and be the first one to step up to the plate, that other person will usually follow.
Amen.
And forgiveness comes between each other. It's over with.
Amen.
But you see, who's willing to drop their pride? Very few people do that anymore today. Everybody's prideful. I'm just talking, me including myself. I'm not preaching to you guys like I'm something better than you. I preach to you guys because this is stuff that the Lord's teaching me that I go through. I preach to you, if you haven't figured it out in the last however long I've been preaching, I preach to you my trials of what I'm going through, of what I'm learning. That's what I preach to you guys. This isn't nothing the Lord just said, here, Dale, I taught you this, now I just want you to go preach it to the people. No, I preach to you the things that I go through, the things that I'm learning, my life. That's what I preach to you. When you drop your pride and you forgive, they usually do too, and forgiveness is done by both parts pretty quick. But with pride in the way, it won't be so easy. But Jesus says to do it anyway. I mean, just you know when the Lord's pushing. Come on, guy. Come on, Dale. Let's go. I want you to go forgive this person. There's something that's happening that's not right here. I need you to come forgive this person. I need you to get in there. You make things right. This person's ready to quit church. Do you know if you don't forgive somebody, they might be ready to quit church? Might be ready to walk away from the Word. Might be ready to walk away from their brother, their sister. What if that person is going to walk away from their family? And all you have to go and do is forget. You don't know that. And the Lord sends you there to forgive these people. And you go, hey, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I messed up. Or whatever the situation is. And then a few weeks down the road, say, you know, I just want to come up and say thank you. Oh, why? Because when you forgave me, I was getting ready to walk out of my wife and kids. But you showed me that you're real. You showed me there's something real to this Christianity. Do we know what we're stopping by forgiving somebody? There's a reason why God sends you. And it ain't for you to feel good. You know, how easily we forget that when we do things, it's for the Lord, not ourselves. He's the one who gives us the benefits of doing what He wants us to.
Amen.
My life isn't lived for me. Because you know what? Listen, it's a lot easier to live a sinful life than to live a life when you try to sin less. Not sin less, like I don't do it anymore, just sinning less. Mm-hmm. It's a hard life, but you know what? The peace, the love, the companionship from all my friends, and I call you guys my friends, my family. Just what God puts in my heart. Tomorrow, you know where we're going tomorrow? You know I'm half broke up today? Tomorrow, guess where we're going? We're going to go hand out tracts at a parade in Hornell with Brother Troy and his family. I like that kind of stuff.
Amen.
I like going to do stuff with church people. I would not be embarrassed to go anywhere with you guys or do anything you ever wanted to do, ever. Because you guys are my family. I love you guys, man. I do. I mean it. Single moms?
Yeah.
You single moms are on my prayer list, man. I pray the daylight's out for you guys. I just want God to step in and do something, man. Get that knucklehead to wake up and get saved. Man, I would love to see James sitting here as a saved man. God could use somebody like him. God can forgive. I don't know how she does it. She, I don't know how she can forgive that guy and hold his hand and all he's done to her. But she's got a part of forgiveness that I just don't understand. That I wish I could get that part. But if we can just get people to start forgiving, man, and get back to God, get to what things are important. We're missing the whole mark. Let me get back into this. But Jesus says to do it anyway. One more thing to think on. If you are a saved person, and this goes for the other person, and they cannot forgive their brother or sister, then the Bible says in 1 John 2:9, he that is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness until now. If you cannot forgive a brother or sister, then you may not be saved. And the same goes for them.
Right.
If you hold on for something for years and years and years and you just despise each other, listen, the Bible says, I don't care what man says, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You know what's going to happen when you have that unforgiveness in your heart? You're going to start hating. Well, if you have hatred in your heart towards your brother and sister, you are not saved. Done. The Bible tells you that right here. Better watch that stuff, man. Or maybe God's just trying to wake you up through that. Maybe you are missed. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe God wants to show you how to get saved. Maybe there's something in your heart that He wants you to see that you're holding on to the reason why you can't get saved. If you are saved, I'm just telling you, get it right with that brother or sister, man. There ain't no reason. There is no... Listen, don't live as the world. We're Christians, right? We're brothers and sisters, right? Then why are you going to live like the world? I'm saying that as a smart aleck. Because we're supposed to be brothers and sisters and love each other and all that. Where? Show me. If you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, show me the love you have towards me then. You ain't going to show me that because you don't love me.
Come on.
Just telling you. 1 John 2:9 tells you that. Read it if you don't believe me. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. If you cannot forgive a brother or sister, then you're not saved. The same goes for them. If we can forgive family and friends, but not our brother or sister, then you've missed salvation and do not love your brother or sister. It's a commandment of God. If it's easy for you to go ahead and forgive your worldly family, and easy for you to go out there and forgive somebody who's part of the world, then how can you not forgive a Christian brother? I think you've missed the mark. You may be lost. Because if you can forgive your family and forgive those who are out in the world, but you can't your own brother and sister in Christ, there's something very seriously wrong there. There's something very seriously wrong there. You can forgive everybody else except for your Christian brother or sister. That doesn't sit right with me. That's not what the Bible's telling me. It's a commandment of God. Let me show you that. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. I know people that are not sitting in these church pews right now because they have a hard time dealing with the people who are here. Yeah. And you want to call yourself a Christian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read that again. And this is a commandment. A commandment have we from Him. Who's Him? He that who loveth God, love his brother also. That's coming from God. That's a commandment of God that we love our brothers and our sisters. I'm not going to leave the sisters out. I'm just saying that's a church in general. We are to love each other. I'm not saying we have to all be sappy and junky, but I'm just telling you that we should be able to treat each other like family members. Why? Because you know what? It calls us one body.
Yeah.
We're one body. Well, then if I love myself, I'm going to take care of my hands, my eyes, my feet. I'm going to try to take care of myself as best I can. My whole body, not just the one part. The whole body. So how can I say that I love me and hate my hands? Or if I love me, then I hate my eyeball. This just doesn't make sense. You've missed it. You're not part of the family, bud. You've missed salvation. I'm just going to let you know that's what the Bible's telling you. We're a body. We have to love each piece. Matter of fact, it says the one that's esteemed the least, exalt them. Lift them up. Why? Because they're equal with us. It's still my body. I don't care less about my toe. But my toe is an important part of my body. It helps me keep balance and everything else. What about that low one in our church? Is it helping you keep balance and you don't even realize it? Lift them up a little bit. I'm going to be able to move into forgiveness now. And I'll be out just a few more minutes on forgiveness. 7 times in the Bible. Forgiveness. 7 times in the Bible. Ephesians 1:7 said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He received the word forgiveness and the power of the Lord Jesus. He forgives and it's gone. He does not hold onto them any longer. Isaiah 38:17 says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. That's for you people who don't forgive people. You have great bitterness. But here's the love of Jesus. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. That's what forgiveness is. They're gone. I don't have to give you a definition. The Bible tells you the definition of what it's talking about itself. Forgiveness means you just let it go. It's gone. You did what you did. It's over. Go behind your back and go on. What is holding on to anything going to do for any of us as brothers and sisters? Is it going to make me grow any closer to you? Is it going to make me be any more of your friend? And then when a need comes up for each other, we can't do it for each other with a whole heart. We can't pray for our families. We can't help each other. I mean, we can't financially help each other if we need to. We can't do anything for each other because we have that, oh, I forgive you. I really need this or this. Oh, not this week, not this week. You've got a whole open calendar. You ain't doing nothing. But because you haven't forgiven that person, you can't help them do anything. It's not how we're supposed to treat our brothers and sisters, man. I'm going to finish with this. People who deserved never to be forgiven are. And their sins are in the past, never to be remembered. When Jesus forgave people, there's people in our life. Hey, I'm going to raise my hand. And I'm going to say, did I ever deserve forgiveness? No, I did not. I deserved the pits of hell. Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Amen.
There's people we're going to run into our life, or our brothers and sisters, that we, you know what? They may not deserve our forgiveness, but God asks us still to give it to them. Why? Because He did it for us. He did it for us, you know what? And He did it for that brother or sister too. Don't you think we should have forgiveness in our heart towards one another, especially the one that Jesus washed in His blood? How can I not forgive you if you're my saved brother or sister? How can I not forgive you? I didn't wash you in the blood, but Jesus did. You're His, and I need to learn how to forgive you. But next week, we're going to do some, I'm going to finish next week. There's still a lot more to go. That was just the beginning of forgiveness, and I'm done, Pastor.